I too wish to greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this beautiful Sabbath day that He's prepared for us. It's very tempting, and I must say it would be quite easy for me to stand here today and speak to you of the gross darkness that seems to be spreading rapidly throughout the world around us. But I hope that it would come as absolutely no surprise to anybody within the sound of my voice that I would prefer to speak to you this day about love. John the Beloved, in the first book of John, in the fourth chapter, says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." A little further down he says, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Now, if John was right, and I am absolutely certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is right, and God is love, then if I speak to you of love, I'll only be speaking to you of God. And it is God, after all, whom we are here today to worship. Our worship on this special day takes a special form in that it is a sacrament and an ordinance designed and instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we, each of us, will participate in this ordinance by partaking of the emblems which represent the broken body and spilled blood of that same Jesus. We must ask ourselves, why do we do this? The answer to that question is in the prayers that will be offered over the bread and wine. You can find those prayers in section 17 of the Doctrine and Covenants. You can also find them in most of the hymnals that you have present in front of you. The answer is in those prayers. We partake of the emblems because they cause us to remember Jesus. They cause us to think about Him, much as my words this morning should be designed to cause you to think about Jesus. And this we do as a witness to God the Father, that we are willing to take upon us the name of God the Son, Jesus Christ. To call ourselves Christians, even in the most life-threatening circumstances. And witness to God that we will always remember Jesus and keep His commandments for one purpose, so that we can always have His Spirit to be with us. That is what we are here to do today. Not to just mindlessly extend our hand and consume some bread and some grape juice, but to witness to God as a testimony to Him. That's what witnesses do. They testify. To testify under oath that we will do these things. Remember Jesus. Take upon us His name. And obey His commandments. And if our hearts are right, and we do these things with sincerity and strictness of purpose, we will always have His Spirit to be with us. And if He is love, then His Spirit is love. And we will always have the Spirit of love to be with us. And that Spirit will manifest itself to us, through us, in our lives, daily. How does it do that? For each of us, I'm sure it is quite different. Yet, I'm sure it is quite the same. I will speak to you this day about Vacation Church School. I bore this testimony in its condensed form the Sunday after Vacation Church School. Yet the experience was so fresh that I could barely form the words to bear my testimony. As I speak to you of Vacation Church School, within my speaking, you will find my testimony. As most of you know, for the past several years, I've been fortunate and honored to have the privilege of being the pastor for Vacation Church School. I'm not sure I can get through this. I'll try. I resigned that position this year, only because I felt like it was important that other men had the opportunity to share that ministry. And when I finish speaking to you today, by the end of this service, it is my prayer that every priesthood man in this congregation would so force themselves on Stacy Pyatt to volunteer to be the pastor of Vacation Church School next year. There's nothing more fulfilling than this experience. And if you have to take a week's vacation, it would not be a wasted week of vacation, I promise you. And Stacy, if you haven't already found somebody, and if these men don't answer the call, I will make myself available to do this again next year. This particular vacation church school started out the day before here at church. I spoke with Miss Courtney, and she advised me that each morning we would start our church school with prayers on behalf of her sister Beth. As the pastor, it fell upon me to conduct those prayer services. They're very small. Very few people came and attended. There were 10 of us, maybe 12 of us at a time. And we sat here in these pews. And we got down on our knees. And we prayed. And oh, did we pray. And we poured our hearts out on behalf of Sister Beth. And little did we know at the time that even as our words passed over our lips, even as we poured out our hearts, the Spirit of God was working inside the body of our sister Beth, performing the miracle which we sought. What an awesome God. By Thursday, Vacation Church School had progressed, and pioneering was our theme, pioneering for Christ. And the day Thursday came to an end, and I stayed after and helped Sister Eleanor carry some things out to her van that she wasn't going to be needing the next day so we could get a head start. And it took us a half hour, probably beyond the time that the church school had ended. And we finished that chore, and I walked out the back through the fellowship hall and out the side door. And I had something that I needed to ask Miss Courtney about, and she was standing outside talking to one of the young mothers who had, I think, a couple of children in the congregation. I can't remember her name. And I hesitated to say anything because I felt like I was interrupting. And the young mother started to walk away and go to her car. And I spoke something to Courtney. I can't even remember what it was. But as I did this, this young mother walked back toward us. And she said something to the effect that, I hope you know how obvious it is how much you love these children. And I thanked her for that, for being so kind to say that. And normally, in that type of situation, being the carnal and sensual and devilish person that I am, I would normally have been all puffed up with pride, thinking to myself, oh, aren't I great? Aren't I wonderful? But in this particular instance, that was not the case. I didn't take it as a personal compliment to myself. I even thought at that very time how wonderful God is, that He can take somebody even like myself and use me as a vessel for His love. And I spent the rest of that day, a good portion of the rest of that day, communing with God talking to him, asking him about the mysteries of the kingdom and the mysteries of heaven. And occasionally he would enlighten my mind. And then I got busy with the grandkids. And I couldn't have asked for more enlightenment than that. And then Friday morning came. And I got here. And oh, what a wonderful day it was. The weather was beautiful, and you should have seen all that we had here. Some of you, probably most of you actually, participated and saw what was going on. We had a pioneer day, and we had blacksmiths, and we had cow milking and butter making and apple pressing, and we had goats, and we had chickens, and we had pets, and we had games, old-fashioned games that the kids could play, and laundry, and it was absolutely amazing. It was amazing at how many people were willing to sacrifice their time to do this work. And it was a bit sad that it all had to come to an end. We all gathered back in here into the sanctuary. And as I have been called on each day to offer the closing prayer for each day, it fell upon me, obviously, to offer the closing prayer for our vacation church school. Before I did that, I was moved to tell all of the children how much they were loved. And I told them that I knew for certain that God loved them, and I knew for certain that Jesus loved them, and I knew for certain that their parents loved them, and that their teachers loved them. But most of all, I wanted each and every one of them to know that I loved them. And then I offered the closing prayer. And then it happened. As I finished the prayer, as was the case every day, Miss Brenda started the children singing the beautiful hymn that we closed every day with. And as I opened my eyes, I saw movement. I was standing right over here, and none of this was here. And I saw movement down that aisle, and suddenly there was a young man, 11, 12, 13, I don't know exactly how old he was. But there he was, and he was standing right next to me. I found out later that his name was Lincoln. I also found out later that he was the great-grandson five times removed from Joseph Smith. That's great, 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 great. Grandson. And he wrapped his arms around me. And he placed his head next to my stomach. And he gave me the most wonderful hug. I bent down, and I kissed him on top of the head, and I whispered, "I love you." And then I heard a voice. I won't say that I know that Lincoln said it, because I don't know that. I don't know where the voice came from for sure. Probably was Lincoln. But I heard the words, "I know, and I love you too." Well, you can imagine at that point in time, how emotional that was. And yes, I'm probably could be accused of emotionalism, because love is an emotion. But at that time, I just lost complete awareness of myself. I didn't know whether the room was hot or cold. I couldn't even think about myself. There was no self involved any longer. I was so flooded with the spirit of love that I was nearly overcome. I looked down. Lincoln had gone back to his seat by his grandmother, and I looked down and I saw Brenda sitting here on the floor, surrounded by these beautiful little children, and they were singing this beautiful hymn. And it was the most wonderful experience I've ever experienced. And if you've never experienced this complete abandonment of self, I pray that someday you'll get to experience that. I pray that, and I'm kind of suspicious that it might be the case, I pray that when I pass from this mortal condition and pass into eternity, that's the feeling that I get. That complete and total knowledge of love, and God is love. And when you feel that kind of love, you know that you're feeling God. And I pray that each and every one of you get to feel that at some point in time. When I offered this testimony at the prayer service that followed Vacation Church School, Brother Jim Gregg called that a kingdom moment. And brothers and sisters, if that's a kingdom moment, O Lord, thy kingdom come. Oh, hurry, please. There's no greater feeling. I pray that you'll all get to experience that at some time in your life under some condition. I pray that the kingdom will come soon. And I pray that you all will, for the rest of your lives, know and understand the spirit of love that we're searching for today. May God bless you, is my prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.